Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Psalms, specifically Psalm 121 and verse 8. Psalm 121 and verse 8.
Psalm 121 verse 8 reads this way. It says, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, knowing that you desire to open up our hearts and minds that we might hear from you, that we would worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, that we would receive the truths, Lord, that you have for us tonight. So bless us, Lord, and may you be honored and glorified. Build Northwood, Lord, for your name, your honor and glory. And may we see souls saved, baptized, and discipled. Bless the Friday evening event, and of course Sunday as well, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply "The Preservation of the Lord." The preservation of the Lord. And so the word "preserve" there means to protect, to guard, and to keep, right? You're kept in the Lord, right? You're kept in his grace. You're kept in his love. Isn't that good? You know, every time the Word of God is opened up, it's an opportunity to understand more about our infinite, triumphant, sovereign God that rules supreme over everything. And so tonight, I just want to spend a few moments here in considering these truths that we'll look at tonight, just three of them. And what is it really that is needed for us as the people of God to be preserved by the Lord? Well, faith, first of all, right? We trust the Lord. Well, really, if we want to get technical, we need the Lord to help us see that we need him, right? That's where it all begins. And then by faith, we trust the Lord. And then as a saved child of God, now we can hear what God is saying and then follow after him. And that's the faith part. And so that's how we have to engage the Lord to be where he wants us to be. You know, the Lord didn't just say, "Now go ahead all by yourself." He said, "Follow me," didn't he? He commissioned us to go, but who goes before us? He does. He goes before us. And so that's a comforting thought. And here's another comforting thought. He wants us to grow in his grace. He wants us to experience how would you say are the promises of God and the love of God? Is it infinite, or is it something that is beyond our imagination as far as how much God has to offer? And so as we consider that tonight, let's take notice of the direction or focus. One of the first things as we follow the Lord and receive this preservation that God wants for us, we have to be concerned about our direction and where we're looking, right? We want to walk in God's way. So verse 1 says this. He says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Now he's going to define that here in just a little bit, but notice what he did. He had to lift up his eyes. You know what happens? Listen, when we are going through a difficult time, when we're sad, when we're hurt, which direction is our head facing in our eyes? It's usually down, isn't it? God says, listen, the faith part is, he says, look up to me. I've not let you out of my hand. I've not forgotten where you're at, who you are, right? I know, and he loves us. And so he says, the psalmist says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." Now, if you notice, right underneath the division there, Psalm 121, it says "Song of Degrees." And what they believe is that this is back in the times when they used to walk and go to Jerusalem for the feast, that they would sing these psalms. They would talk about these psalms, and they would be praising the Lord. They would be preparing their hearts, right? These are joyful psalms, and they're revealing and reminding us of the truths of God's promises to his people. And so that encourages us, and likewise, God wants us to be encouraged as well. So he says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." My help cometh from the who? From the Lord. That's where our help comes from. Doesn't come from the nightly news. It doesn't come from the stock market. It doesn't come even from what's happening in society. Aren't you glad? Listen, when Israel was taken into captivity into Babylon and everything was not the custom of the Lord, God was still on the throne. In fact, God knew exactly where all of his people were that were taken into captivity, didn't he? Even Daniel, even though everybody else was bowing, there were three Hebrew children that said, no, this is not the way. We're going to trust the Lord, and we're going to walk and follow after him. By the way, listen, we are here in this particular time frame in life, and God knows exactly where we're at. And we don't, listen, we need to keep our eyes on him in spite of everything that might be going on. God is still in control. So he says, my help, our help cometh from the Lord. And notice as we consider this, which made heaven and earth. He's all powerful. And so he says, keep our eyes, the direction of our focus needs to be on the Lord. And then we want to consider some important attribute of the Lord. And that is, he never gets tired. Aren't you glad? You can get out here in this kind of heat. It'll make you tired in a hurry, won't it? But God never gets tired. Not even, listen, you can work out in this and you're looking for the evening to come so that you can put your head down on a pillow, close your eyes, and hopefully you've got air conditioning that works, right? And you can get nice and cool and just kind of, God never grows tired. And he's always aware of everything that's going on, and we can approach him. So notice what he says, verse 3 here. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Notice, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keeps you and I doesn't go to sleep. So he keeps us all the time. And he will suffer our foot not to be moved. Now, this is what this means. That means that if you are adhering to the truth and you're going to trust the Lord, Lord, you know, the world doesn't like your word, does it? And Lord, there are wicked people that don't love your word, and then there are lost people that don't like your word. But Lord, help me to be loyal to you and to your word. Help me to walk. Lord, I want to keep your word. And then another help I need is, Lord, help me not to lean to my own what? Help me to lean to you, Lord, and what you direct me. So notice what he says here. He says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Why? Because we're looking to him in his path, right? Notice, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's saying, follow me. So if we're following the Lord, we're with the Lord, aren't we? And so how do we walk with the Lord today? Well, we have his word that guides us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. That means I'm walking in the light of God's word, right? And so this is what's important. Now listen, we're going to have opposition, aren't we? The world doesn't like it. In fact, Lord, help me not to be ashamed, but to stand bold. Didn't the disciples ask for boldness? Didn't God promise boldness? Because we need boldness. We need to be bold, gentle and loving, but we need to be bold in what we believe. A matter of fact, Jesus Christ is the only way of eternal life. Every other religion, I'm sorry, not really sorry to say, the truth of the matter is wrong. It is a false faith. And the devil has seen fit to put a lot of false faiths out there to mislead people. But you and I who have received the truth, it's important for us to stand in the truth, right? And to follow after the truth as the Lord guides us into that. Look at verse 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel. By the way, there's that word preservation, right? He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Look at this, verse 5. The Lord is thy what? There's that word, being kept, being preserved, the same thing. I'll never forget, it was in the early 90s, maybe, had to be 94, maybe 95, and we lived on 8 acres. We had a 2-bedroom mobile home, my wife and I, and Jessica at that time. She was the only child we had at that time. And I had no farming experience at all. I have a little bit more today than I did, not much, but I have a little bit more today than I did back then. So I was on board with whatever the family was doing, right? So I lived on, we all had mobile homes. My father-in-law, now they built a home, you know, since that time, but they had a mobile home, and my brother-in-law had a mobile home, and my sister-in-law and her family, they lived a little bit ways away, and we all decided, I jumped on board, to raise a hog. So for that year, we raised a hog, and in the spring, we butchered it. I believe it was the springtime, and I don't remember how much that hog weighed, close to 200 pounds, I'm thinking, and I don't know, I remember how much meat we got, but we each one got a pig, and we fed it, and that was an interesting experience. And anyway, had it butchered, processed, and put it in the refrigerator and in the freezer, because we wanted to keep it. right? We wanted to keep it. So anyway, we then traveled down to Florida, down to North Miami Beach to visit my family to show them their new grandbaby, right? They were all excited about that. And we were gone for 2 weeks. It took us 24 hours to drive down there, and we spent some time there. I think we visited some places on the way back. And anyway, we got to our door, and nobody had thought anything about it, but we had one of those Missouri storms come through, and sometime in May. And anyway, I think I got up to the porch. I said, "Something doesn't smell right." And then I opened up that door, and I almost lost it. I'll just be nice, but I almost lost it right there. Anyway, what happened was the lightning popped the breaker out at the pole. And so all of it was ruined. May I tell you something? That was horrible for 2 weeks. I can't tell you. Every time we walked in, that smell was still there. It was not as bad as the first time. But the blood had, you know, all in the bottom of the freezer. And we had to pull it all out. And that's not what you want to do. Amen? And so God wants to preserve us and keep us so that we don't rot. Right? The world is wicked. The world is rotting. And the only way for salvation is for God's people to follow after the Lord in His light, in His word, that we might be the preserver that He wants us to be, the influence to a lost and dying world that will see where the keeper is at. Amen? The one that will keep us saved and hold us in His hands when we put our faith and trust in Him. So notice again, it says in verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. He's thy preserver. He's the one, as we look to Him and walk with Him. Now listen, as a believer, you know, when David walked out on his terrace in the palace there and saw Bathsheba, he was not any longer following after the Lord. So he went his way, didn't he? And then Uriah, we know what the story was there, and he had him murdered. And so this was not a good thing. And so it's important, it's vital. Even David, you know, when he came back, said, "Listen, restore unto me." So he wanted, when something is restored, it's turned back, isn't it, to what it once was. And he wanted to be once again kept by the Lord. So he says, "The Lord is thy keeper," verse 5. "The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." I like that, don't you? Now, remember, the Israelites remembered what it was to walk out in the wilderness, and they needed the shade as well, and so do you and I also, to keep us from the things of this world. "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from" how much evil? Did you see? Listen, the Lord's our preserver. First of all, listen, we need to be concerned about the direction of our focus, and understand where our help comes from the Lord. Then we also notice the important attribute of the Lord. He's never tired, so He's always wanting to work with us. And then the last thought here is the Lord is our preserver. So verse 7, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." So God will do that. All we have to do is put ourselves into His hands. "Lord, I trust You. I'm going to walk in Your ways. And by the way, Lord, this doesn't bother the Lord. I need You today, every day. But I need You today, and I need You for the rest of this day so that You would hold me in Your way. I want to walk in the Lord's way." And that's all it takes. God, that honors the Lord, and we start to walk in the Lord's way. Verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and for the next month." Forevermore. Aren't you glad? Forevermore, God will hold us in His way. All we have to do is just be willing to put ourselves in His hands. And He says, "I'll keep you. I won't let you go." We're in His hands. As long as we want to be in His presence and His company, we enjoy all of the blessings and the promises that God has given to His people. So tonight, the Lord is our preservation. He's the one that keeps us from the things of this world that would spoil us, and that we would be able to be presented before Him a holy and righteous and a royal priesthood to His honor and glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your word. the wisdom that it brings, the understanding that it gives to us. Lord, it's not in our hands, it's in your hands. Our lives, our salvation, our walk with you. Lord, may we look to you and not to ourselves or our own understanding. Lord, let us not be shaken by our trust in your word. Lord, what you've promised, you will also perform. And we thank you for that. So tonight, as we break off for prayer and as we go throughout the rest of this week, may we have our confidence in you and not in ourselves. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.